That was a sermon we don't need to hear me now. That was wonderful. Thank you. Those few who have heard me before know I usually say 3 points in a prayer: be good, be brief, and be gone. That when I prayed about this, I didn't get that message. Am I coming through okay? Okay. I always want to be.
People want to see more of you.
Oh, well, yeah, there's not as much of me as there used to be. I've shrunk 2 inches from a thing called hyperparathyroidism. That's a fancy word for you got kidney failure and you're going to get smaller. And I told Janet if they don't find a medicine, she's going to be married to a midget. They got it slowed down, though. Now, when I started to pray about this after the pastor called me, I thought about the times that I'd done it before here, and it's been a long time, and I haven't been in a pulpit for quite some time. But I was given the message to give you a message in this church, and it's from the Holy Spirit, I promise you. In the name of it, though, because I had to have a little levity, and do you smell smoke? A lot of us have gifts that are going to burn when we meet Christ. I'm going to tell a little story here. I'm going to talk about heaven, I'm going to talk about hell, but I'm going to do hell first so we can end on a positive note. There was a story, and I think I probably told it years ago. There are a couple of fishermen, they're on their way to the lake, not having a care in the world, and they were in a head-on. The next thing they know, they're standing in front of the pearly gates, and they said, "We think we're supposed to be here." And they get out the books, and they look. Now, this is an apocryphal story. You know, that's another name for a lie. But anyway, they get out the book, and they look at this first guy, and they say, "You really got a wonderful record. We've not had many people show up like this before. Here's the keys to a brand new Mercedes 450, solid gold, that you can drive around these streets of gold." And then the other guy was there, and he said, "You know, you're going to make it, and your shirt tail's not on fire, but, you know, there are things in your life that we shouldn't talk about right now, but here's the keys to a Chevy." He said, "But it is gold colored." So they both went, found their respective mansions. And one day, the one in the Chevy was driving along, and he noticed this. There aren't many Mercedes up there. And they noticed this and pulled over to the side. And he said, "That looks like my old friend, my old fishing buddy." So he pulled over, and the guy's not smiling. He's not being joyous. He said, "This is heaven. You're supposed to be joyous." He said, "I just saw my wife go by on a skateboard." So there are degrees in heaven. I've told Janet more than once, I just hope I can get a weekend pass to come see where she is in heaven. Okay, some of this, let me make an announcement here. There are a lot of scripture verses in this today, because that's what I was told to do. If you don't want to write them down, Sarah reluctantly agreed to accept one of the copies of the sermon, so if you want to go and get with her, she'll let you copy down what you want later. But I'm going to go ahead. I'll be reading more today than I usually do, because I want to, number one, prove I can still do it. And I got a new set of glasses. Okay. Both of us, you and I, have friends and acquaintances well up in years, nearing the end, who are headed for hell. Now, when we finish today, this is going to be like a seminar. You're going to know exactly what God wants you to do when you pray about it. By the way, who in here reads their Bible every day? I can put my hand down. I don't make it every day. A few of you. That's one of the first things you have to do if you want to be a good Christian, to go out and witness to people, is to read the Word. Okay. If one doesn't have the blood of Jesus Christ securing their future, he or she must make the most important decision of their life: to accept free salvation Jesus purchased on the cross. How do they know about Jesus? If you can't get them to hear or tell them there, they don't know in many cases. This community has been on my heart for 20-something years. There are a lot of people here living in a little bubble that don't know about Jesus, and they're a little bit hard to convince that they should listen about Jesus and come to church. You know those people. You're their neighbors. You're their friends. These people need to be in church. They need to have the word of God disseminated to them, because hell is real. And it's not even going to be a lot of fun. I was witnessing to a woman that I'd known for 50 years. And I was on the phone talking to her. And she said, I've got a severe indigestion. I'm going to have to go and get something. I'm the last person to ever talk to her. She fell dead with a heart attack. She's younger than me. I've known her a lot of years. And I kept praying with her and for her, telling her. And this line comes often: I covet you for the kingdom. It works. It works. When people realize I'm coveting you for the kingdom, it gets through to them sometime when nothing else will. Why is there a hell? Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Then why do men and women go there? Okay, we're going to read about Matthew 25, 31 through 46. You go there if you'd like. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. This is going to be the main thing that we need to read here. Okay, thank you. I'm old, you know, so you got me a stool here. Okay, 31. This is all red letter. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on his left. All right, what's going to happen here? You already know. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, come and be, you're blessed of my Father. I want you to remember, you are blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see that you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink? When did we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and came to you? The king will answer. You've heard this many times, but think about this. And say unto them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of these of my children, you did it to me. Anybody ever have somebody knock on your door and be looking for assistance or looking for a meal? I grew up with my dad being known in two communities, and it was almost weekly that somebody was at the door. Mr. Jones, can I have a gallon of gas, or can I have a meal? I haven't eaten in a week. Sometimes I wondered, because they were a little bit overweight, but he always fed them. He always gave them the gasoline they wanted. I don't remember him ever turning anybody away, except an insurance guy one time. I can't help it. Okay, and the king will answer and say, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left hand. I don't even have to go on. You know what's going to happen, don't you? Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteousness into eternal life. It's really important for us to give of our hearts, give of our substance to those who come to us, but always use it for a chance to witness. I was listening to a preacher out of Southgate, Texas. He's on TV a lot. And he said, I talk to people about witnessing. And he said, frequently I have people say, well, if I feel led to witness, I will witness. So he said, I went out and I bought a lot of those little brass fishing weights, and I'm made out of lead, not brass. And he said, I took them and I had them hand out. Okay, put this in your pocket or purse, and when you run across the chance to witness, just put your hand in there or in your purse and feel that lead. You'll be led to witness. I once here I preached a sermon. Yeah. I preached a sermon here one time similar to that. I passed out pennies. And everybody said, why is this? I said, well, that's 1 cent. O-N-E-C-E-N-T. But you, as Christians, are 1 cent. O-N-E-S-E-N-T. You're sent to the world. We'll get to that in a minute. Okay. Now, I got a little bit more. And don't go away from that one, because I got a little bit more here in chapter 2 Peter. That was through 46. We're going to go to 2 Peter 2, 4 through 9. I'm a little bit rusty here, but I'll get there. 2 Peter 2, 4 through 9. Okay. Now, I'm disseminating this to you so you know things to use when you go before someone who doesn't know Jesus. You don't want to do all of these, but you want to remember these verses. If not, get a copy. Okay, 2 through 4, 4 through 9 says, in 2 Peter, for if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed with the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day, to seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. Okay. That is a verse a group of verses that you can read to someone if you can get their attention, so that you can tell them that God can deliver you from the oppression. Now, I've said here before, too many people run from temptation but leave a forwarding address. So that's a story I've used a lot, because people have a tendency to say, well, the Lord won't notice if I do this or that. So the Lord always notices. Okay, now here we go. Chapter 10 of Matthew. Jesus sent 12 apostles. How many of you know that story about him going out? If you remember the story about Jesus sending the 12 apostles, his original, including Judas, he sent them out, and he told them, instructed them in verses 11 through 15 of chapter 10, and 28 through 33, and 38 through 42. Now, forgive me for reading so many verses, but this is when Jesus sent them out. That's the first missionaries, wouldn't you say? Those people went out, and they were to do the following, as soon as I find it here. Okay, Matthew 10, he sent the 12 and sent them and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter the city of the Samaritans. Now, he was sending them as missionaries to the Jews. Okay, yeah, I'm going to go down to verse 11 here. Now, whatever city or town you enter, now, this is important to remember. When you go out to witness, when you become a missionary, even if it's next door, you need to remember the things that he covered here. Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire into it who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. Now, you got home, so you go back to your home, but they didn't have in this case. They went out, and they tried to find who was worthy. How do you determine who's worthy? Think about that for a minute. How do you make a decision as to where you're going to plant yourself when you go to be a witness for God, for Jesus? You got it, okay. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you or hear your words, when you depart from that house or city, you remember, shake off the dust from your feet. Why am I reading you this? Because when you go to witness, you have to be, as I said about the lead in your pocket, you have to be led. You have to be led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will do the work, but you've got to present the Word. The Word is God's own Word, and that's what you want to do. Okay. Yet, what did go out, to see a prophet? He said, what did you go out to see? Well, as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, what did you go out to the wilderness to see? And so he's witnessing to the crowd that's following him while they're out there to do this. Okay. I'm sorry about the coughing. I didn't mean to do that. Okay. So now let's look at verse 38. 38 through 43 says the following. And he does not take his cross and follow me. He who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. He who receives you receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. Who's he talking about? The Father. I and the Father are one, as he said. So, he who receives me receives him who sent me. And he goes on to talk about the prophet. In the name of the prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Okay, now, so far we've covered Matthew 25, 31 through 46, 2 Peter 2, 4 through 9, and we've talked some about chapter 10 of Matthew. Why do I keep going to Matthew? Thank you. Because that's really... Thank you very much. Got it. I'll sit it there and probably kick it over. All right. This is more like a seminar than it is a sermon. I'm not going to apologize for that because that's what the Lord wanted us to do. Okay. Now, what can we expect to find in heaven? We talked about hell. We already know what we're going to find there. People with weeping and gnashing of teeth. What do you first think you're going to find in heaven? God, first of all, right? Okay, if you want to go there, 1 Kings 8 through 22 and 23 is when Solomon prayed before the altar of the Lord at the time when the priest brought the Ark of the Covenant to its place into the inner sanctuary of the temple, to the most holy place, most holy place under the wings of the cherubim in the completed temple. Who built the temple? Solomon. Why did David not get the build? God told him, you're not going to get to build it. There's too much blood on your hands. Your son will build the temple. So they built it. And this is the prayer. And it's over in 2 Chronicles 2, the whole thing. And so it's 2 Chronicles 6, 12 through 39, the prayer that Solomon offered at the altar when they were making all the sacrifices without number. Okay. Now, in Hebrews 9 through 11 and 12. This is one I need you to remember. Hebrews 9, 11 and 12. We'll get there yet. My markers all fell out. It will. All right. It says in 11 and 12, but Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is not of his creation. What is he talking about? You're the temple of God. How are you treating the temple? You know, the temple that we know now is the temple of God, and it's the one that you're wearing around. What happens to this temple whenever you come to the end? It goes back to dust. But what about the temple not made with hands? If you go in Revelation, you can read about the new heaven and the new earth when the old heaven and earth have passed away, and it'll descend from the sky, and there'll be the eternal temple not made with hands, not made with human hands. Okay, so I'll read this again. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Who was the first to have a resurrected body? Jesus. All right. Would you like to have a body like Jesus had? You remember he could go through walls and show up places. Wouldn't you like to have that? This beats Beam Me Up Scotty any day. Now he's the new covenant sacrifice. Jesus went to the cross as the perpetual eternal sacrifice for the sins of the world, to those who would believe and have faith. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. You, as Christian, can share in that redemption. If you know somebody that's not a Christian, how can you go? By the way, I'll have a handout here at the end that gives you some guidelines to help you. How many of you boldly go forth? You can show your hand if you want. Boldly go forth and witness to your neighbors about Jesus. If you're not doing that and they don't know Jesus, how are they going to find out? We'll probably go over there and read the Great Commission. How many of you can quote from memory the Great Commission? Go ye therefore into all the world. I'll go ahead and tell you where it is. It's in Matthew, right at the end, in Matthew 28. Okay. If you have a Bible or one in front of you there, pick it up and go down to verse 18. Well, let's go to 17. That's Matthew 28:17. Okay. And they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Now this is Jesus after the resurrection. Then Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Think about that. He says now, and this is my commission to you in here. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. That's it, verse 28. Chapter 28. Now, do you think he was just talking to those apostles? This is a commission for everybody who knows Christ. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit off the notes here. Probably won't be any better, but we'll try. Salvation is for serving, but it's not for saving. When you come to Jesus, you don't have to do anything to get the blood of Jesus to cover you except to believe and to accept and to use your mouth to tell people about it. Now, how about these people that think they work their way to heaven? Have you ever met one of those? I have. I met people. I believe I'm nearly ready now. I've done this work and that work. Works won't save you. Why do we work then? Works serve because of our love for Jesus. Now, I heard a story one time about a rather prominent Christian who, in a dream, a vision maybe, got a tour of heaven. And this angel was taking him all around, and they came to this door and said, "Gifts." And he went in with the angel, and the place was piled high with gifts. And he said, "What are these for?" He said, "Well, let's go look up your name. Here are all the gifts you failed to claim, the gifts of heaven that come through your good works on earth." And he said, "All these other gifts are left over from people who did not go out and do the good works that Jesus commanded when he said, 'Go ye therefore.'" In some Bibles it says, "Go there ye therefore and preach the gospel." Now, how many of you are willing to use the term preach in the way you talk? But it says preach or share, and here it says make disciples of all nations. How do you make a disciple? First of all, a disciple is someone who follows Jesus. But you've got to win them to the Lord. And I have sometimes had problems in the past with the Billy Graham crusades because they brought a lot of people to the Lord, but nobody went out and discipled them in some places. That was a thing that always bothered me. Now, Franklin Graham, on the other hand, makes certain that those people get followed up and get discipled. The disciple, first of all, is what it says in the Word. That's where you learn how to be a disciple. So, I will give you a couple more verses here. It says here, in Hebrews 9:11-12, we read it. But I want to remind you, the temple veil was torn in two from top to bottom when Jesus was crucified. That's out of Matthew 27. What was the significance of that? You know, they had an earthquake, and even people that didn't believe said that must have been the Son of God. The temple veil was torn from top to bottom so that you can enter the Holy of Holies. You have been given permission to go to the Holy of Holies by Jesus Christ being on the cross, and that curtain that held the Holy of Holies away from everybody is now available to all. Okay, now, it says here, Jesus opened our way to enter the Holy of Holies of the temple not made with hands. That's in the afterlife. Okay, what? Now you're going to find God in heaven. You're going to find Jesus in heaven. How would you like to know what the Holy Spirit looks like? The Holy Spirit's in heaven. Nobody, who's ever seen the Holy Spirit? Or as Newt says, the Holy Ghost. And that's what's in the King James Version. Okay, it's incumbent on me. Yeah, I've got that, Do You Smell Smoke? And get the second page here. All right. How about angels? Anybody ever see an angel? Janet claims to have had somebody tell her they saw one sitting on a car, I guess, because it's a wild driver. She had an angel sit on the car one time. Angels are still here. Now, when we read the Bible, we find out about angels going to Mary, angels going to John the Baptist's dad. They showed up a lot more. Why do you think they don't show up as often now? I'm going to read you something, if I can find it here, that I ran across in this Bible. It talks about the angels. I think it's located over here by Luke. And it was nice. It's not a Bible reading. It's just something about angels that I thought was interesting. How many of you? No, I didn't find it. How many of you really feel the presence of angels in your life? See if I can find it here. I may not can, but it was interesting. No, it's not there. But anyway, angels don't appear as often in modern times as they did because we have the Holy Spirit. Since Pentecost, when you accept Jesus, you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I've got friends that say, no, you don't get that till later. But the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, comes to live within you when you truly accept Jesus. Now, I preached a sermon here one time called Don't Quench the Spirit. That's easy to do. It's easy because it's a still small voice. Don't quench the Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes to you, you need to listen. That's the way you get the guidance of how to live your life. Okay. Now, if I had the thing on angels, I'd read it to you. They don't come as often because we all have the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus, so we don't need that. I think we still have angels. They're just not as present. But I know, most of you know, maybe not all of you, that I used to fly for a living. Now, you learn to believe that angels are looking after you after certain things that happen. You know, takeoff is optional, but landing is mandatory, and sometimes it gets really hard. And I more than once I've thought, you know, I believe that angel delivered me. All right, do you believe heaven's going to be fun? What are you planning on doing in heaven? Worshiping God. Amen. Now, do you think you'll know your relatives that didn't make it? Will you see them in hell? Yeah. We don't really have an answer to that. But why not just go ahead and witness to them today and make sure they get there to heaven, and then you don't have to worry about this. Now, there are a lot of people that have sermons that they preach on whether or not you're going to recognize your friends and loved ones in heaven. I have no doubt that I'll recognize friends and loved ones. I think I'm going to be surprised to find some people there. And I think I may be more surprised to find that that people didn't get there, you know, that I really thought were good Christians. It's in here, not out there, that you would determine the future of your destiny, of your soul. Anybody here doesn't believe the soul lives forever? There are denominations that say your soul that, because in the Bible it says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But I don't want to experience the kind of death they're talking about, which is eternal fire. So I used to teach 16-year-olds in Sunday school, and I used to tell them this. It's not biblical, but they're all going to get their driver's license while I had them. And usually I couldn't get them back after that. But anyway, they got it at 16 for the most part. And I said, the Bible says, no man shall take them out of my hand. Talking about saved people. But I said, don't tempt the Lord by getting down yourself and getting out of his hand. So try to stay in there and follow him all the way to the end. Now, there are denominations, and you may know people that say, you won't make it if you don't follow him all the way to the end. I think, and that's why I named this sermon what I did, that some people accept Jesus and think they've got a ticket to heaven and they don't ever do anything else. Their work will burn. That's where the smoke comes from. And, of course, there's smoke coming up if you read in Revelation where the beast goes. But that hell wasn't made for you. It wasn't made for your neighbor. Heaven is our home, where we're supposed to go. So it's up for you, up to you to spread the word so that people know what Jesus did and how he did it. And so that's the Great Commission that I gave you a while ago. All right, here's how you qualify for heaven. Accept Jesus by faith through grace as our Lord and Savior and follow his commandments. John 3:16, how many of you can quote that? John 3:16, almost everybody can quote that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. What does it say in verse 17 of Matthew 3:16? John 3:16. Here, let me get it. What does the next verse say? Go there to John 3. Wish my markers hadn't fallen out. Okay, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Okay, here we go. God, that whoever believes in him. I heard a preacher one time say, you know, you live in a house. You don't want to be on a house. So believe in him. And he made a whole sermon out of, you know, if you believe on God, that's intellectual. If you believe in God, you got it in your heart, you know, Jesus. Something to think about. He said, you don't want to live on the housetop. You want to be in the Spirit of God. He, by the way, was a Baptist. So, it said here, for God so loved the world, you're not going to perish. But God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. This is 17. But the world through him might be saved. Okay. Now, how are they going to get the word out? He has chosen to use finite man to spread the word. We've got missionaries scattered all over the world, and they're witnessing to the presence of Jesus. You know, God, you'll hear preachers say, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, and, you know, he's everywhere. So when you go to look for God, you don't have to look very far. But it does help if you use this book. Okay, now in 18, he who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe in him, pardon me, believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, and this is the condemnation, that the light has become, that has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. When you go to witness to somebody, a lot of times they don't have any familiarity with the Bible. If you start beating them over the head with verse after verse, they just, their eyes roll back in the back of their head. So you have to learn to know people. Now I'm going to, this is my way, not, well, it's God, my way to serve God. When I meet somebody, I try to relate to them and to their personality in such a manner that I'm not going to beat them over the head. I'm going to turn the Holy Spirit to my way of thinking by saying, you know, this is the way I came. You have a story. Anybody who knows Jesus has a story to tell, a testimony. And if you tell that story, nobody can argue with that story. Now, that don't argue with Bible with people. Frankly, most of them don't know what they're talking about. My brother, who's a Baptist preacher, used to say, I refuse to take battle with someone who's totally unarmed because they don't know what the Bible says. So argument doesn't help. But if you tell your own testimony to somebody that doesn't know Jesus, takes boldness sometimes. But if you do that, they can't argue with what you said because it's your experience. They can't say, no, you didn't do that. You didn't have that experience. So there's a good place to start. That's why we have testimony that, you know, God gave us all a testimony if we come to know Jesus. Those of us who have accepted Jesus can look back and say, I had an experience that was like no other experience, and that's what you can share with people. That's your witness, is what happened to you. And nobody can argue with that. So always remember, just always fall back to what you had experienced. Then you find that if you know the Bible, you'll find a place to back it up with Scripture rather than beating people over the head. Like, I've had people show up at my house and they're going to win me to the Lord. They didn't even check to find out I already was. They walk and knock on the door, come in, we're here to bring you to the Lord. Anybody ever experienced that? Let's see. You know, yeah, I mentioned my brother, and perhaps I'm being too personal, but he used to invite him in. Now, he used to teach Greek and Hebrew, and when those people knock on the door, he'd invite them in, then stand at the door. He's a big guy, not like me, and he would preach them a sermon so that they had understood exactly what the Bible said. In many cases, they didn't use the Bible. So if you're nervy enough, you can do that. When they come, just bring them in and witness to them. That takes a little boldness. I don't know that I could do that. I'm not big enough. Okay, here's a couple other things that you help qualify. It said, we read John 3:16, 17, 18. We're saved through faith. That is salvation. We're saved, we're being saved, and we will be saved. In other words, it's eternal. And I told you about the guy who went on a tour of heaven in his dream and found all those gifts he had failed to claim. Now, good works lead to eternal reward. They have nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is free. You can't do a thing to make it any better. Jesus did it all on the cross. But then why would you want to go out and do good works? First of all, because you love Jesus. Second of all, you're making rewards in heaven. How many, well, we sang that song a while ago, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. It's all right to wish for a mansion and to go do good works and stack up. And it says in the Bible, you know, that stack up gifts that won't corrupt. That's what they're talking about. God will always live up to his promises. And he promises the rewards for us if we do the good works. Now, how do you determine what's a good work? Bible reading and prayer. Now, I'm going to talk a little bit about prayer. Probably not enough, but I'll talk about it. When you pray, well, first of all, there's this kind of prayer. There was this guy who fell over a cliff, and he, just as he looked down, it was 200 feet down, he grabbed onto a bush that was growing on the side of the cliff. He's hanging on and saying, help, is anybody up there? And he heard a voice from heaven, turn loose. He prayed a little bit more, turn loose. He said, anybody else up there? So, you know, you got to have faith in the Lord. When he tells you something, don't put out the fleece. You know the story about Jason, and there's one in the Bible about, the guy that puts the Bibles in all the, yeah, Gideon. You know, he put out a fleece a couple of times. Once it was wet, when he said, if it's wet, I'll do this. I won't do that. I won't test the Lord. Now, Jacob tested the Lord. By the way, my first name's Jacob. Some of you know that. And I found out that without meaning to, my mother named me the following. Jacob, in one interpretation, is trickster. And my middle name is Roy. That stands for king. And I'm now named Trickster King II because she didn't know that when she named me. My dad was the real Roy Jones. He never went by Jacob. And I tell people, they say, Jacob, that's a popular name. I say, yeah, but even God didn't like it. He changed it to Israel. So that's the way it works. Now, here we're trying to get you to heaven now. And I told you about the guy that went into the gift room. Now, the rubber hits the road when you do this. First, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, accept him today. That's the start. And go to work for the kingdom. Next, if you're a disciple, what does disciple mean? discipline. Disciple means a follower who stays in the rate, that stays in the path, the narrow path, if you please. Okay, he said, if you already are a disciple of Jesus, then it comes time to accept and commit to him. And that's when I gave you, and I'll do it again, the Great Commission, and it's in John 28. Remember we read it a while ago? You should memorize that so you know what your mission is. Now, I had a commission in the United States Air Force, and they told me that means that you're to do what we tell you to. So, in John 28, get there. We read it a while ago, but I think it deserves to be read again. Get back to it. It says, go ye therefore into all the world, and it used to say in the King James, and preach the gospel. It's in the red letter. I don't find it. We're looking. Anyway, I read it to you. Go ye therefore into all the world and discipline those to bring them disciples of Christ. Everyone has a story. I mentioned, if you have a story about a conversion experience, that's the best thing you can do to break the word if you're going to talk about Jesus. If you don't have a story, then the way to get one is to accept Jesus and put that at the center of your life. By the way, what's the high point in all of man's history? It's the cross. The cross of Jesus. Everything in the Old Testament built up to that, and everything since then has been looking back to that. So I tell people sometimes, I believe in Jesus, I believe in the death, burial, and resurrection, and the rest is somewhat window dressing. If you can say, I believe in Jesus, not on Jesus, but believe in Jesus, and you can recognize that he died for your sins, that he rose again, that you have, through faith, eternal salvation, then there's not much else you can ask for. Okay, now, everyone has a story, as I said. If it seems too difficult for you to tell the story, some of you are bashful when it comes to this. Tell me if I'm lying. Some of you don't want to do that. Here is some help. Would you come up here and help me? I got about 30 of these for a family. Spread them out here. And on the front is the Roman Road to Salvation. How many of you ever used the Roman Road? Just see your hand. Okay. Now, it's on here on the front, and on the back are some guidelines or help for conversion, steps to the Christian life. Okay, split them and hand them out there. And I mentioned again, if you want to find out some of these verses in what I've read here, I've not done a real great job, and I realize that, but it's been around 9 or 10 years. You can go to Sarah and write down the verses. I gave her a copy of this sermon so she knows what verses that you might need, if that's what you need. Okay. I didn't keep one of those, but you can look there. The Roman Road to Salvation is on one side, and the helps is on the back side. Yeah, I might have missed a few there. Okay. Get him another one. It's got one on the back here. Now, I hope that I've fulfilled what the Holy Spirit sent me here to do, was to say, go out and be a witness. And where it says, go you therefore, you start with the next door neighbor, and you go from there. Anybody here remember when Bill and Dot were here? Anybody? No, I guess not. It's been too long ago. Anyway, he came to spend 6 weeks with us, and he went to every house and knocked on the door and told them about the Baptist church. And we had people come. Because if you go and God's with you, the Holy Spirit will guide you. Now, I didn't keep track of the time, so when he gets through with those, I don't really have anything else to offer. Except my prayers for this church. And see if there's anything here. Okay, on the back of that Roman Road, if you get one for the families, if they run out, and the one that's not covered, you said somewhere not on, on the back? Yeah. My printing success is not perfect, though. He's got them all. He got them all distributed. All right, I would like you to stand with me for a prayer of commitment for this church to go out and witness. Dear God in heaven, thank you that we have this place for a church, but we realize the church is the membership, and we pray, dear God, that you will guide us and inspire us to go out and witness to those that don't know Jesus, that they might not burn in eternal hell. Now please, dear Heavenly Father, go with us as we leave, that we won't forget that we are to be fulfilling the great commission that you have given us. And we pray to God that you will watch over us, and we pray that you'll bring the pastor back safely. And Lord, thank you for giving us this opportunity to share together what God can do through us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.